Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
The Raheemy Harrison Grody Show, middays 10 to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I know there's a lot of questions O-line. Feel really good about that position now. Guys can plug in right now and play. And there's a couple guys that over the course of the year should continue to get better to help us in the future, this year or even down the road. So we're in a good shape there. Feel good about where we are.
That was Ryan Poles. How long ago was that, Robbie?
That would be August 26th.
That's August 26th. Since then, we've seen a few things, haven't we? Bears 3-2. They went through their bye week. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And as I qualify the Is This Petty game with saying that's a good problem to have when you're concerned about whether or not the analyst was too critical of your quarterback after a win, I say the same thing in this vein. Like, as critical as we have been, and I think fairly, of Ryan Poles and his talent evaluation and acquisition, what we're also seeing is a coach that he had a hand in hiring doing the right things with the talent enough to win one score games, which was not the hallmark of his previous head coach. 6-20 was Matt Eberflus in one score games previous to Ben Johnson taking over. So the question was asked, how much credit should Ryan Poles get for this Bears three-game win streak? And I think for me, you do get some knowing that you are part of putting in a proper infrastructure, but I still feel like there are concepts and one-on-one battles that certain high-dollar players aren't winning enough to say, oh, well, you've certainly turned this thing around, lock, stock, smoking barrel, like now we can move on and everybody's fine. Like the fact that we're still asking in our meeting, for example, among the four of us, Robbie, Ray, Marshall, and me, about whether or not the Bears should be buyers at the trade deadline, that gives you an indication that this roster isn't complete. The team isn't complete based on what we know, and there's been a lot of money thrown around this offseason. So that concerns me when I try to piece this all together. Like, you still don't have enough sacks for the output of your defensive line and the money you spent to me to say, you deserve credit for this. I think they're making do with what they have in a positive way right now. Like DeAndre, they still signed DeAndre Swift, and I still thought that was a good signing because he was the second biggest free agent running back name to Saquon Barkley. Like, we all knew that. He was number two in that market. That was a good idea. But to not supplement him with a back that complements his outside style, how he runs outside zone well, how he does other things well, like pass catching, as we've seen, that is an indictment upon the front office. Like, you can make this work, but when it comes to the roster building itself, for how long?
The question I had and the why it popped up is because, like, okay, they've won three games in a row. Ryan Poles ultimately is the architect of everything that we see. Now, I'll give Ryan credit in this. He gets credit for making the trade that set up the acquisition of the number one overall pick with which he took Caleb Williams. You can debate whether or not Williams should have been the quarterback that he took with the number one overall pick, understanding he did no scouting of the guy who went number two and to this point has a better career than Caleb Williams. You
who
can make
got
all that.
NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yes.
Who was being compared in some say an unfair way on Monday night, as we mentioned.
Yes, but you get credit for, you know, putting yourself in position to have Lovie Smith help you get the number one overall pick on the last weekend of the season. You get credit for being the GM who got to be in charge when Ben Johnson got on a Zoom call and said, I want to coach the Chicago Bears, and ended the same Zoom call saying, I want to be the head coach of the Chicago Bears. You get credit for going out and getting what Ben Johnson, I guess, felt like he needed to make his team effective in year one, spending the first couple of picks on offensive players, one we've seen flash a lot more than the other, and neither, I would say, has lived up to what the billing of a number one or a number two pick should be. When you look at four guys taken in the first two rounds, you can say none of them, except for maybe Luther Burden, who had a late start because he was injured at the start of training camp, has lived up to that. But I can't give him much more credit than that, Layla, based on this small sample of evidence with the five games. Now, if they continue to win games and they get through the first half of the season with a winning record, we can revisit just how much credit Ryan Pohl should get. But I guess I give him credit right now for not screwing things up further after what we had seen the first few seasons with him in charge.
See, and that's interesting because I thought based on you even submitting the question that you thought he needed more credit than what he was getting.
I thought I just gave him more credit than I would have given him 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the thing. Is like, it's not that Ryan Poles can't get out of probably what is the fans' doghouse in the decisions that he's made to this point. It's that he has some runway to make things right because Ben Johnson is bona fide, ready to stamp and approve him as a valuable and viable head coach in the National Football League.
It is true that a good head coach will fix a lot of your problems. He will do the most with the talent. And the way people wish that had happened, I think, on the North side, more with Craig Counsell, that is the case with a football coach. They have that kind of power. They have that effect on your win-loss record. They have that effect. And you're seeing Ben Johnson do that. I think you're seeing him make the most out of what he has, especially when he said he had simplified the playbook. That lets you know that this group of people can't run the things he wanted to run initially. And while some people see it as a red flag, good coaches will see it as a problem to solve. And I feel like that's what we've seen so far. He's taken it on as something where if the objective is simply to win games, then I consider it more of a problem solved because he's winning in spite of who he has. I think the record in drafting and the record in spending still stands on itself. Colston Loveland was taken 10th overall. Luther Burden was taken 39th overall. That was considered, of course, as we know, a steal. And he's made some incredible plays that really show you what he can do, the flashes that you talk about, Marshall. He's also seeing time on special teams, which I think, as we've seen, really does factor in and can be a really positive difference for a player. But Ozzie Trapillo still not being able to start? You drafted a project yet again? Jervon Dexter was drafted as a project. But fortunately for the other highly paid veterans on the defensive line, he's still probably your most successful pass rusher right now, outside of Dominique Robinson.
That's
if you
crazy.
Look at the numbers. And Dominique Robinson was in pass coverage, and I didn't think that was a great idea. But you saw a lot of the choices staring them in the face even on Monday. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt was more effectively neutralized thanks to a Dennis Allen defense. Dennis Allen was still hired by the Bears. But the reason we talk about Bill more than Kyle Manungai is because he's been starting level caliber in the NFL.
The other guy that you haven't mentioned yet, but I'm sure you're about to, is that other second round pick whose name we have not heard much of.
You're talking about Ozzie Trapillo? You're talking about Shamar Turner?
Shamar Turner.
And Shamar Turner was injured, as we saw before, but I feel like at least he's getting some playing time, which is more than I can say for a guy like Trapillo. And I'm a big believer that your first two round players should be part of the album cover, so to speak. They should be the difference makers. And while I'm here, the Denver Broncos have 30 sacks now on the season as a team.
Is that a lot?
30! That is 10 more than number two, Pittsburgh.
They did get to play Justin Fields, though, and get 9 of those sacks against him.
Woof. But also, by the way, Pittsburgh has a chance to close that gap tonight in what we are dubbing the Unk Bowl.
Well, we haven't dubbed it yet. We're going to decide later what we're going to dub it.
I don't know.
There's options there.
The stand on your with your hands on your hips and look into the distance bowl. The old head bowl. We got a couple names.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Panthers are still last in the league with 5 sacks as a team, and the Bears after Monday are now up to 8.
The fact that you said up to 8, we're still in single digits, and somebody other teams
they
have
gave
30.
A sack to some. They gave a sack to a ghost too. They gave a team sack, and I still don't know who got the credit for that. Javon got 1.5, and Dominique Robinson got 0.5.
Yeah, and so the question goes back to, you know, as we talk about the Bears and where they are this season, 3-2, here on Raheemy, Harrison, Grody, what grade would you give Ryan Poles in 2025? Look, I know ultimately it's an I, it's an incomplete. But right now, you gotta give him credit where credit is due and say, you didn't screw it up so bad that they couldn't have a winning record. That's really the way I look at it, Layla. They're good enough to have a winning record, and you could say because Ryan Poles got better at his job, or you could say in spite of Ryan Poles. I'm not ready to say in spite of Ryan Poles. It could go back that way if those sack numbers continue the way you just described them. Because remember what my question has been every offseason for the last 4 years. Who's getting to the quarterback? Who's getting to the quarterback? I was told Dio Odingbo was getting to the quarterback. I was told Montez Sweat was getting to the quarterback. Now, Montez Sweat, I thought, had a better game this past Monday than people want to admit. But Dio, have you seen much from Dio this year?
Not enough for that contract. And that's the point, is the Bears a lot of times will draft people and they will pay people based on potential rather than past performance. And it's fine to talk about now in this respect when you're still under a quarterback's rookie contract, but everybody gets expensive really quick. And look no further than, say, the Ravens as an example of how expensive and slow a defense can get quickly. Like, when you spend money on that side of the ball, it can absolutely hurt you.
And I'm just, I don't know. I want to know whether or not the people believe in this team the way I believe in this team. Because I believe Ben Johnson is the guy. I believe Caleb Williams is the guy. Still not sure about that defense. Got a lot more faith in the offense than the defense. But I do believe in Dennis Allen's ability to try to make something out of not as much as he needs.
Kyler Gordon and TJ Edwards coming back made that defense look a lot better. And it was more effective. And I believe that TJ Edwards coming back was also a big reason the run defense was more effective. So two people can make a difference like that, especially when they're two of your best players on your team. But when it comes to trying to see how the GM gets factored into all of this, your choices and your players will reflect every single week in the NFL. And that's something that not only we do, but your opponent is going to analyze every single time.
And that's why this game with the Saints is a bit concerning, because I'm just, I need to see more of the foot on the throat of the team that they're facing when it's an inferior opponent. I know the Saints aren't as bad as their quote unquote 1-5 record would tell you, but they should win this game. It's at home. And I'm holding my breath because I'm a little bit worried about this Sunday's game, Layla. I mean, when I say a little bit, I'm a lot of bit worried about this Sunday's game.
309 says you literally never pay somebody for past performance. That has been said on this show and multiple shows on The Score. I am a different person. I have a different opinion sometimes than a lot of my coworkers. I don't think you pay somebody above market value for something they haven't shown that they could do yet. That's how I feel. I don't think you draft somebody in the second round based on something they haven't done yet, because you're putting a lot of faith in your system and I have no faith that your system has worked yet. That's how I feel.
Also 309, nobody complained about the Sweat trade and extension when it happened. Hindsight is always 2020. It's not about...
Actually, they did. Mike Florio on this station questioned whether or not they were going to extend Montez Sweat, because that was a big piece of a question mark as to how much they gave up in the trade. And then we questioned when he got it, if he could live up to that price of the extension. And we were encouraged by what he did during that year. So that's not exactly true either.
Also, 708, how do you knock a defense that leads the league in takeaways? Listen.
When you go over the sack numbers, that's pretty easy. I'm not talking about takeaways. I'm talking about the pass rush.
It's got to be sustainable. And you need more quarterback pressure to be sustainable as a winner in this league.
That's it. I mean, and listen, did they take advantage of the opportunities they had in front of them and they tried to take away the ball? Absolutely. Did we give them credit for being 3-2? Yes. You can listen without context all you want, but there's a reason we're discussing this. Our producers today are Ray Diaz and Robbie Triano. Brandon Fryer helps us out as well. You can catch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. Our video team is Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis. As we broadcast live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And when we have breaking news on the Score, it is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. We continue to ask, and we appreciate the feedback, too, because we want to know what you think. Call us, 312-644-6767. If you think that Ryan Poles deserves more credit, or how much should he get? Tell us what you think. We continue the discussion with you next.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.